hey, they were all right. But then when you stripped off that center, when you stripped off the covering, when it split down the middle, have you noticed the decay and the rot? Thank you, brother. And have you noticed it? If you hadn't noticed it, you need to pay it attention, because it's there and it's extremely obvious that those trees have been affected by some disease and it was rotting on the inside. What I'm trying to say to you, as far as behavior is not changing, see, we need to understand and get this message. It's just like that tree. We may look fine on the outside because of our behavior. It may be perfectly okay, but the inside may be rotten to the core. I'm trying to get you to understand, it is the inside of you that God wants to change. And if the inside changes, then it will truly reflect what's on the outside, not vice versa. See, our behaviors are things that people see on the outside, where we are trying to cover up the rottenness inside of us. That's the reason why Paul teaches us about not conforming, but transforming. Reggie, if you pull up Romans 12 and verse number 2, I need you to understand what the author is truly getting to. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word conform means to fashion like, to conform oneself to the pattern that they see around them. If we look at our society and we begin to notice the corruption in the lives of many, we as Christians should never want to conform ourselves to that pattern. We should do everything within our power to transform that old negative attitude, those old wicked ways, because those are the things that corrupt and defile. Even though a person may look good on the outside, hey, that doesn't mean he's good on the inside. We are out to make a difference in this wicked world, and it starts within, church. It starts within you. You have to want to transform yourself. That's where we get the word metamorphosis. The word metamorphosis comes from this same word transform. That literally means that you have to change what's on the inside. See, I need you to understand that this life you are living, you are now living in a cocoon. You see, when a butterfly starts off, he starts off as a grub or a caterpillar. He's an ugly little creature. He's all messed up on the inside and outside. We need to understand that we've been messed up on the inside because we've been lied to by the world. We've been seeking its lust, its pleasures, trying to gratify ourselves by worldly means, and that was only corrupting us on the inside. We look just like those trees out there. We look good out, but in is another story. You can truly see and understand how corrupt we have been made by sin in our lives. You can understand it. You can see it for yourself. It is as real as you. And that's what we've been trying to talk about, is being real. Being real. It's real that we have some things on the inside that have messed us up. And now we are trying to cover those inside things up with good behavior. Good behavior will not save you. It's the changing on the inside. It's the changing. See, if we want an elder to become that beautiful person that's pleasing and acceptable to God, we have to go through a metamorphosis. Do you think while that caterpillar is encased in his shell that he's not going through something? You know, he is growing and developing. He's changing. He's going to look different, but yet while he goes through that process, that comes pain and agony, that comes some struggle with difficulty. But see, I want you to know tonight that you're not going to be a beautiful person if you don't go through the changes. Not going to be a beautiful person. But whenever he breaks free from that shell, oh boy, look what comes out. You know, he has to start all over again, living a life as a beautiful butterfly. And I'm going to talk about that. When we break free from this shell, we're going to be some beautiful beings. Oh, I can't wait to talk about that a little bit, but bear with me. But before you can break free, before you truly can change, you have to start preparing yourself for that change. You know what that caterpillar does when he is getting ready to go into metamorphosis? He feeds himself. He eats and eats and eats. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. We have to do the same thing. We have to eat what God wants to feed us. And that's the Word of God. If you're not taking time out with the Word of God, how can you expect to become that beautiful being that God wants you to be? See, we have to understand what the Galatian writer wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Watch what he says here. He says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man," what, church? "Soweth, that shall he also reap." Now that concept is fully explained there in that verse. What you sow is what you actually going to produce in your life. See, if we sow the wrong things, we cannot expect to reap the right things. We must sow the right things in order to reap the right things. Look what the next verse teaches us. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what, church?" Do you see those trees out there? Do you see how corrupt and defiled they look on the inside when they were opened up? Can you not see the destruction that's in their lives? That's a tree. But I want you to be able to see where we are and where we are trying to go, church. If we continue to just behave right and not do right by changing our lives, we will reap the same corruption that Paul is talking about here. We're going to reap it. That's the reason why it's so extremely important we sow the right things. We feed upon the Word of God. And we put that which we eat from the Word into practice in our lives. You just can't read it. You just can't have the knowledge. You just can't have the material, the tools to build with, and don't use them. We must be about using the blessings that God has blessed us with. Watch what he says. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life. Everlasting. Everlasting. That's the benefits of choosing to feed upon God's word and produce the kind of fruit in your life that's pleasing unto God. And you know something else? You'll be pleasing to one another. You'll be trustworthy. People can trust you. People will treat you with respect. Because you don't give no quarter on what you believe. You truly are a light. You are the salt that makes the difference in this old world. You make the difference. You are special people. Honor God by shining like lights on a hill. Watch what he says. Verse number 9. And let us not be weary in what? And well doing. I know how tired gets sometimes when we have to go here and do that for other folk. I know that it can become weary and burdensome. You know, sometimes in trying to help people on my job, man, they just literally wear me out. They wear me out. They come with the schemes and the games and all this other stuff. Sending me legal papers where they're going to threaten my life. No, as long as I do God's will, as long as I'm there trying to help somebody, God is going to get me through all this. I will not be corrupt by the things of this world. I will not think like those people think. I feed upon the word of God, and that's going to make a difference in my life. That's going to make a difference in yours. Man, you're not going to act the same way. Them people you used to hate, you don't hate them no more. Those people you used to call the enemy, you'll do the best you can for them if they ever need you. You are a good Samaritan. You're a good Samaritan. Why? Because you feed upon the word of God and you're looking forward to your transformation. Why are you in this shell? Man, I'm dealing with some things. I'm dealing with some problems, some issues, some trials, some tribulations. But I don't get weary because God has given me my purpose. He says, and let us not get weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall what? Reap if we faint not. If we faint not, yes, I know how tiresome it gets sometimes. I know the burdens that are placed on Christians' back. I know the responsibilities we have to hold up the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. But never let it be said that we put it down. Don't be like those people who make statements like, you're about to make me give up my, huh? I almost hung my Christianity up because of you. Don't let that be. Be stronger and better than that. That's the reason why the next verse teaches us this. Watch what the next is. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto some folk. No, man, can't, well, we're not all folk. Man, some of them folks that we have to deal with on the job, some of them, no. It says all people. All men. at us as we see the opportunity to bless someone else's life, let us bless them. If you see a man hungry, huh? If you see him thirsty, huh? If he naked and needs some clothes, come on, brothers and sisters. That's what we are all about. If we have the opportunity, let us do good to all men. And then this is the killer, because I'm telling you, sometimes we don't want to treat you the other right. You remember when I closed out this morning talking about we should have the same mind? Huh? Well, this is what he's saying. Especially those of the household of faith. If you don't do anything but love your brothers and sisters, you need to love them with all your heart, just like God loves you. You need to do the best you possibly can for those who are a part of this family here at Northwest. Because it's not just you by yourself in this struggle, in this shell of life, who's trying to change their ways, trying to get rid of the corruption that's on the inside. It's all of us. I've been at this for a mighty long time, and I'm still changing. I still see some problems with me that I need to correct. And I'm willing to confess those things before God and before men, because I don't want to hide and make you think that I'm just a good behaving Christian. I'm more than that. I'm a disciple of Christ Jesus. And I live for him and not for myself. Those are the things that we need you to understand. It is about sowing the right stuff in our lives that we can produce the right fruit. If you truly want to transform, metamorphosize, you need to feed on those things of God that they may glorify him in heaven. Some people unrealistically may believe that their behavior is okay as a Christian. However, they are living in an unrealistic world of faith. Because faith is the world, because in the faith of the world that we have in Jesus Christ is always changing for the better. We don't go backward, we continue to go farther. And if you are satisfied with where you are, then you are not being realistic. I said again, you're not being real. If you think you're good enough, then you're not being real. How many of you are like Jesus? Can you compare yourself to him? What I'm doing is I'm trying to be like him. That's a big difference. I am not like him, but I'm trying. And I hope that's what you are doing. You are transforming your life to be like him. You ain't sitting back on your no good. You are doing something with the good that God has blessed you with. See, he's given us everything we need. All we have to do is obey. And the more we obey, the more change we'll see in our lives. The more change we'll see. We'll see ourselves not saying the bad words anymore. Because I know some of my good Christian friends let their tongue slip. And you say, what?
Yes. Some of our actions, some of the fruit that we're producing is rotten to the core. We may not do it all the time because we do everything to cover it up and make it seem like we just all right. But yet we do things and we think things and we say some things that you know that are unright with God. So I'm a Christian in process, brother. Man, I have to work at this every day. You know, bro, y'all know one of my sayings around here, I'm still in the fight. What do you think I'm talking about? I'm fighting. You know, sometimes you ever got up in the morning and had to fight to go to work? Anybody ever experienced that? Man, I just got to go. You know, I don't want to go, but hey, I'm in the fight. Has anybody ever came by and made you mad and you held your peace? Huh? You in the fight. Hey, has anybody talked about you and said something negative about you and you didn't say nothing back negative? Come on, what you're doing is you in the fight. I get up and I fight every day. Amen, bro. You know why, bro, Will? Whether people realize it or not, Christ has made us a winner. He's made us a winner. But we have to stay in the fight. You know, we get pushed around. We get beat up. You know, Christ said we are like lambs to the slaughter. Yes, but we know because of our change, we're going to be victorious. We're going to be victorious. We are winners. As the Roman writer says, we are more than conquerors. Can you be more than a conqueror? In God's eyes, you can. But you got to start transforming here. You got to start making some changes here. You got to make those changes. Behavior does matter. I need you to understand that. It does matter. But if there isn't a real change in the lifestyle of the Christian, their good behavior does them no good. It matters. Yes, you are expected to have good manners. You are expected to be polite. Yes, you are expected to live a well manageable life. You are expected to be ethical and moral and professional. But our profession is not of this world. It is of spirit. To be a good Christian is to be spiritual bound. Remember, changing your life is a constant process of going through the difficulties. If we are not willing to face the challenges of being a Christian, we cannot change for the better. If this is not your way of thinking, then don't look to be pleasing unto God. If you would look at the Roman letter once again with me, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, and watch how serious Paul is concerning your sacrifice to God. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I'm pleading with you by God. I'm pleading you to God to present your bodies as a living
sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual what? Worship. Look at verse 2 again. Now, I want to make a point. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye, by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me say this to you, church. How can you offer spiritual sacrifices when you are corrupt on the inside? When you see the wickedness and the rottenness of a worldly life, how can you offer God acceptable worship when you are not living right? That's the reason why he pleads with us to offer God what is acceptable, which is a reasonable responsibility. But if you are defiling yourself with worldly wisdom, carrying out acts in the world, then your worship is in vain. That's just being real. It's in vain. All them songs you sung is in vain. All them prayers you pray is in vain. All those blessings God has blessed you with is in vain, because God gonna send his rain on the just as well as the unjust. God gonna do those things for you. Because the man shacking up with a woman and across the door from me, and all around me, we got other people shacking together, female with female, all that, because they y'all got the rain today. It rained on there, y'all. I'm telling you, God is going to bless, because God is a blessing. We need to have the same concept of mind. But we need to be sowing what God wants us to sow. Let's look at this sowing once more. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 37 and 38. Watch what the Bible says. And I'm going to leave this lesson with you tonight. And what you sow is not the body that is to be. I want you to understand, come on, I might as well just go and step down from here and talk to you. See, what are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to is the question I need to raise right now. Simply because I want to be transformed from this body. You know, I know Brother Stone had, why? Brother Stone talks about his feet. Now he can't wear dress shoes now. Have a problem with that. Sister Julia is constantly in pain. Sister Thompson is having all kind of health issues, and she's tired a lot and can't come to worship. We just lost some members, some members of the church just lost some individual. This old life. And so what I'm sowing in this life, I'm looking to be changed. So it's important. And what you sow is not what body that is to be, but a bare kindling. Huh? In other words, if I had some seed here in my hands and I plant those seeds, something different is going to come from those seeds that I plant. See, I'm looking for something new. I'm looking for a spiritual transformation in my life, a new metamorphosis. I'm ready to break out of this old sin-sick body. I'm ready to get away from the corruption and be a new individual. But I have to understand how important it is for me to start sowing that right now into my life. See, I need to know what I'm sowing. See, I just can't sow anything. I have to know what I'm sowing. See, there are a lot of people that have a lot of good behavior and do a lot of good work. But God says in Matthew chapter 7 that I don't know you. Isn't that what he says? He says, some will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done many wonderful works? Huh? Prophesied. That's preaching. Did many wonderful works. But I don't know you. How would you like to be like that? It is because they were sowing the wrong thing. Watch what he says again.